Uncluttered and Unfiltered is brought to you in part by Carex. For older adults, aging in place is a key part of the American dream. And yet only 10% of us have homes that are aging ready. And we admit to not even knowing where to begin when it comes to making our own homes or our mom's homes safe and comfortable. Carex.com is more than just the place to go for affordable, easy to install, and often fold away equipment. It's also a resource. They deeply care about supporting caregivers. Well, we've teamed with Carex to offer you a 20% discount on Carex.com. We've got a link in our show notes, or when you're checking out, use the code UNCLUTTERED20. That's Carex.com, UNCLUTTERED20. Don't wait for a medical emergency or life-changing event to visit Carex.com.
Welcome to Uncluttered and Unfiltered, the podcast urging you to let it go and don't look back. With nationally acclaimed professional organizer Christine Stone and self-proclaimed hot damn mess radio and TV personality Eden Kendall.
Welcome everybody to Uncluttered and Unfiltered. We've been teasing this for a few days, but Christine and I are starstruck and super excited. We feel we've met our long-lost sisters in a podcast that is called the Pop Culture Preservation Society. We could go on and on with an introduction, but instead, I think the best way for everybody to get to know these lovely ladies is to introduce, and please, like, we're taking attendance back in fifth grade, which I know is a great memory year for you guys. Carolyn.
Here.
Okay, very good. Kristen.
Here.
And Michelle.
Here.
And there was always that kid that would say present.
Right. Yeah. I was convinced Michelle was going to do that, but.
Why? Because I'm that kid.
Well, I just thought it'd be fun. I wish I'd done it. But.
So who wants to tell us the premise of the Pop Culture Preservation Society?
Oh, the premise. Okay. So our tagline is your Gen X childhood in a podcast. And basically what we do is we take all of these things that you enjoyed from when you were a kid that nobody's talking about anymore. And we talk about them so we won't forget them. Like Battle of the Network Stars and Charlie's Angels. And Andy Gibb and Croft Super Show.
ABC After School Specials. Saturday Morning Cartoons.
I have to tell you, the shirt I'm wearing right now, and Christine is wearing her Disco Queen shirt. And the shirt I'm wearing right now is not, I told Chris, this isn't really my style. It's very snug, but I feel jiggly like I'm in Battle of the Network Stars. Yes.
Oh my God. You're in the obstacle course.
Yes. Like Suzanne Summers or Adrienne Barbeau.
Yes.
And so these are kind of the things. What you ladies have done is you will take a memory that I didn't remember was even a concept. That's the thing that's crazy. Like, we can all talk about the crushes or the favorite TV shows. And when pressed, you can remember them. But then sometimes it's like the show Zoom where you forgot it existed, but then suddenly you remember every single detail. It's like a repressed memory. So what you're doing really is preserving these memories. Yes. Whose idea was this? Who wants to tell us that?
You want the origin story?
Yes.
It's a good story. Okay. Go on the Wayback Machine, and this is pre-pandemic now, and I am writing a book called Worldwide Crush, which is a novel that is based on my childhood crush on Sean Cassidy. And while I'm writing this book, it pops up in my Facebook feed that Sean Cassidy is going to be giving a concert at a winery in California. And it's like the first time he's performed since 1980. And I'm like, I think this is the universe speaking to me. I think I need to go to this concert. And so I go to my writing group. All three of us are in the same writing group. And I announce that I am going to this concert. And Carolyn is like, wait for me. I'm coming with you. She wasn't going to let me go alone. And so we go and we have this Gen X experience that is just so unbelievable. And with that experience that you just talked about, where you have these memories that are repressed and suddenly they just are living in color, that's what Carolyn and I experienced. In the meantime, Michelle is the new girl in our writing group. And she's like, I want to go to there. I want.
But I can't because I have spent my whole life as a new girl. If you've listened to the podcast at all.
Oh, yes.
I let you know. I moved a lot as a kid. And so even as at the time, a 50-year-old woman, I still carry a lot of these new girl insecurities with me. And I can tell immediately that Carolyn and Kristen, who are going to go see Sean Cassidy across the country, are my people. Oh. But I still am like, they're not going, I can't say I'm going to go, right? So this is all happening in the spring of 2019. So a whole year later, it's summer. It's the pandemic. We've all gotten to be better friends by now. I don't feel like the new girl quite as much. And as Kristen said, we're all writers. At the time, I was doing some freelance writing for different websites. And I had pitched an idea to an online publication of AARP.
That's who we are now.
I mean, here we are. Mm-hmm. Called The Girlfriend. And my idea was I wanted to write an article on fangirling after 50. This is something I know. And I actually pitched a whole bunch of ideas. The editor loved this one, said, run with that. And I just kind of thought, you know what? I know two other big fangirls. I would love to just pick their brains and maybe just get a quote for my article. So it's August of 2020. The three of us haven't seen each other in real life in months. And I said, could we do a Zoom call? So I set up a Zoom call with Carolyn and Kristen to talk about the article. You guys, 2 hours go by and we've talked Tiger Beat. We've talked Sean Cassidy, Andy Gibb. We've talked television shows, toys, roller rink songs. We've talked everything. And we were so just joy filled with this connection. Sure, the pandemic and being apart from other human beings had something to do with it, but it had everything to do with these shared memories, these things we all shared at the same time. We're not the same age. We're all, we're all within 3.5 years of each other, mm-hmm. I think, but we're all Gen Xers. And, we had so much connection in that phone call. We ended it just with big smiles on our face. By the way, did not get a quote from my article at all. And Carolyn, at the end of the call, makes a proclamation.
I did. You guys, it was so much fun. Just like Kristen and Michelle have both said, when you make that connection and all of a sudden these things that you almost were embarrassed to talk about before, but then you kind of say them and someone else goes, yes. And you just feel like you found your people. I said, you guys, we have to start a podcast. I don't even care if anybody listens. We just need to have an excuse to talk about this stuff. And so that's kind of when the seed was planted. And lo and behold, we did it, not knowing, by the way, anything like what to do, how to do this, how to start a podcast. Yeah. So we are also a testament to you can do anything. You're never too old to learn. And look, here we are. We're guests on a famous podcast. So with other like-minded folks.
I tell you, there are so many similarities, ladies. We, the two of us met in, I hosted a daytime TV show here in Jacksonville, and Christine is an acclaimed organizer, and we couldn't be more different. And we found out where the fork in the road actually happens. And it must be that we were on the same path until our teenage years, because our childhood and our teenage years are just
Donny Osmond.
Right with the same memories. It's Donny Osmond. It's all of the people.
And Donny Osmond.
In that just a few years does make a difference. So what I love about your podcast too is that sometimes, and you'll be very open about this, somebody will maybe not be as ingrained in that particular memory. So that person goes and does the research and comes in with, well, let me tell you this. I don't have that memory, but I can tell you this fact and that fact. And it just brings it all full circle. So it's so well researched, but you're right. Those are memories that are going to go by the wayside if you don't record them for posterity.
That's right. And what you're talking about is the exact, we do that all the time, that one of us is the fangirl and then we bring the others along with us. And this week's episode is the perfect example of that. We did a 2-part tribute to Andy Gibb. I am the super fan. Carolyn and Michelle were the sisters of the super fans. And by the end of our research and recording, both Michelle and Carolyn now want to marry the deceased Andy Gibb.
I do too. And I haven't yet gone online to see the picture of him in the Speedo fishing, but that's on my to-do list.
Mm-hmm. It's a keeper.
Well, and I am 61, so I love listening to you guys because I feel, first of all, like you said, I'm always embarrassed because I was the nerdy Carpenters, Bee Gees, you name it, girl. And, you know, I'd have to hide my love of her because I was in high school. I wasn't in Donnie. I was young, but the rest of them, I'd have to sit blaring Andy Gibb all by myself because everybody was into the 70s hard rock and roll. And I was like still listening. They long to be. And people are like, oh, she's such a nerd. And so that's why when she told me about you and I started listening, I mean, I really did feel like you guys were my girlfriends. So I really have enjoyed listening. And I told her this morning, I even listened to all the TV hits, made for TV hits. And I'm putting my makeup on this morning and I'm like, okay, they're going. We're now getting to, and I go, oh my God, they're going to say Brian's song. Oh my God, I've already put my mascara on. I cannot believe I've already put my mascara on. And I literally, from the minute the song, and then when he started doing the trick, I mean, down my face, I had to redo all my makeup. You guys, I swear you hit.
You make us feel things.
Yes. Make us feel things.
That's so nice. You know what we like to say to people? Because we also have a really great social media community on Instagram and Facebook where we post daily Gen X memories. So the toys, the music, the things. And we have people all the time that will tell us, I would have never thought of this again or whatever. So we like to say that we're keeping your synapses firing. We are staving off, you know, dementia and all these types of diseases because we truly are making your brain work, right? These are things you've forgotten about. And this is exactly why we do what we do. We don't want your brain to forget about them because they bring you such joy. I think sometimes people, when the three of us describe what our podcast is and what our conversations is, they're confused and they mistakenly think, oh, that's kind of sad. They want to go back and live in that time. They're living in their childhood. That couldn't be further from the truth. We do not want to go back then. We just want to reignite those memories and the joy they gave us. And we all had complicated, I'm sure, and difficult times in our childhood. Maybe not all of us. If you're one of the few that didn't, that's fantastic. But that's not what these memories bring back, right? These memories bring back just a simpler, wonderful time. And, you know, if you're 61, if you're 55, we both crushed on Donny Osmond.
Yes.
I might have been 5 and you might have been 11, but isn't that an amazing, fun thing? And you and I could get together and have coffee and talk for 4 hours about Donald Clark Osmond and leave with just the lightest heart and just feeling like we had just, you know, for 4 hours, our troubles were gone.
Yes.
My birthday is in July. So we saw that Donny Osmond was on his way through on tour in July. And Christine bought us both VIP packages. So we are going to do the whole meet and greet, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing it too. I'm doing it in August.
Okay.
You
well,
guys,
here's
what are you thinking? I've already given my 8-year-old self like mood stabilizers. Yes. I'm so afraid.
Well, don't do what I did the first time I met him when my husband took me for my 50th birthday when he just started playing in Vegas and did the meet and greet. And when we got up to Donny Osmond, I literally could not say one word. And my husband kept going, "She really loves you." And he's like looking at me and I go, "Uh-huh." And he's like, "We listen to your music all the time. My kids even know who you are." And I'm like, "Uh-huh." So we're hoping and praying I don't do that again because it was embarrassing.
I got a plan. You got a plan for
us. Well, I have a plan and my husband's praying I don't do it, which is to walk. I think it's terribly clever to walk up to him singing the Umbrella Song, which was my favorite song when I was a kid from the Donny and Marie album. And my husband just puts his head down. He's like, "Please, Michelle, don't do that." I'm like, "I think that's very original. Like, I think he'll remember that."
Oh my gosh.
Well, he brought my album up on stage and read off of it. And my husband looked at me and goes, "Are you crying?" And I go, "No." And And he's like, oh, I remember this. And then he goes and hands it back to me. And I'm like shaking. I'm like, oh my God, I'm taking my album up on stage. So yes, we all have this thing, Donny Osmond connection.
I actually, sometimes that can surprise you. We had the I cried unexpectedly when I met Holly from Land of the Lost.
That's true.
I'm like, she did.
True story. But yeah, like it's like your 55, 59, 61 year old self is like also meeting your 8, 9, 10 year old self at the same time. Like you're both of those people. And it's pretty, it's hard to describe, but magical and emotional are two of the words that come to mind, and super special.
It's funny. I have, because of my other job being on the radio, I have an opportunity to, sometimes they're very random interviews, and it's not nearly as exciting now as it is if you were me at 9 or 10 or 11 years old. So Eric Estrada. We're talking to Eric Estrada. Right, exactly. And I could have told you anything about him at the time. And of course, Tiger Beat. But you know, at that time, and I'm sure you ladies remember this too, he was a grown man. He was like a grown man. And it's like what you were saying about Andy Gibb being hairy. You know, you're just like, it's one thing to be looking at Donny Osmond when one of you are 5 and one of you are 11, because he's still at least a teenager. But my gosh, like this is a man. I mean, how would it be to be that? Know that these little girls are ogling you.
You know what? I will say something about, and this kind of, to the point of, we don't want to go back and live in that time. The three of us have been really fortunate through this podcast journey to have met in real life some of our idols. We got to host a teen idol dinner last year where we sat at the same table with Christy McNichol, and, you know, Jimmy McNichol was there, and, you know, we've met and interviewed on our podcast. You know, we've become friendly with Melissa Gilbert and Karen Grassley and Christopher Atkins and Sean Cassidy, you know, and he's become a friend of ours, and we've been able to meet him. And I just want to say though, that it's fun. You know, you think, oh my gosh, we're not going to know what to say. This is, you realize though, you've grown up too, right? And so when you're sitting next to Christy McNichol at dinner and having a conversation, I have to say, or when you're talking to Sean Cassidy and, you know, the green room before his concert, they're just people. Like, it's truly like they're just people. And it's really not until you leave that you realize what just happened. But that's kind of a really cool thing that you realize they've grown up, but at the same time, so have we. And so it's not that it's like Carolyn said, it's a combination of our 12-year-old self with our 55-year-old self as you're meeting them. But thankfully, most of the time, the 55-year-old self takes charge and knows that they need to get their together. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think it was when I heard Sean Cassidy introducing your podcast one day. I'm like, these ladies are the real deal. And while we're talking about this, let's talk about PETA. Let's talk about not the animal organization group.
Yep.
Right. Andy Gibb's daughter, who, as you guys mentioned, none of us knew even existed. That your episode, it's at the time of this recording, your most recent episode, and a part 2 is coming out. It is beautiful. It is such a beautiful episode. Can you guys talk a little bit about what went into the making of that?
Hi, it's Eden. Christine and I absolutely love bringing you Uncluttered and Unfiltered, the podcast for women over 50. For the first time, we're asking you for your help. A one-time or monthly donation from you will help us with production costs and help us grow this awesome community. Find a link to make a donation in our most recent show notes, in our Uncluttered and Unfiltered Ladies Only Facebook group pinned to the top, or on our Uncluttered and Unfiltered Facebook page. And in advance, thank you.
It took us a long time to decide to do it because it's not a happy story, right? We have our happy childhood memories, but he died tragically when he was only 30 years old. And that was a hard day for a lot of people, even if their love for Andy Gibb was far in the past. You're like, what just happened? It feels like that's the day your childhood died. And I happened to, in the podcast episode, you'll hear how I came in contact with Andy Gibb's daughter, who is unknown to most of us. And so I have this kind of relationship with her, and we didn't know how to approach this very meaningful and important, but kind of sad story. Most of the time, our episodes are super, like, just very lighthearted and fun. This wouldn't be a lighthearted story. And then I have this relationship with his daughter. And so I felt like I needed to do something that she would feel good about. And so finally, we had gotten so many requests from listeners. We're like, we have to figure out how to do this. And I just started. I'm like, I'm going to start with PETA. I'm going to go to her and I'm going to say, if you were going to listen to a podcast about your father, what would you want to hear? And that's how we designed how we talked about Andy Gibb. And
I've listened. It's amazing.
It's beautiful. It's poignant. It's candid because she was candid.
Yes.
Obviously, we learned from you all, not obviously anything we knew. I didn't know she existed either. So if you're going to go back and do what I think a lot of our listeners are going to do, which is go through your entire library of episodes, which will take a while.
I did. Yeah.
And you start with Andy Gibb. There are two things to know. One is this is a little bit different. This episode's a little bit different. As you mentioned, a little more serious. Your hearts were obviously, you felt very, very much like you had a mission to accomplish.
We did.
And I know it probably took you so long to put together your thoughts in advance of it and then post edit it. But it really is a great starting point. So we would love to tell you about our favorite episodes if you don't mind.
Oh, please. Sure. I love it.
Okay. Do you want to start,
Chris? I'll start. First of all, the very first episode I listened to, of course, Disco Queen, the Bee Gees. And the reason is because I'd already seen that documentary. And so anyone out there listening, this is what ends up happening when you listen to their podcast. So they were talking about it. And I'm like, I already saw it, but I think I need to go see that again because they're talking about stuff I must have missed. My husband must have been talking in my ear or something. So I start to watch it. Thank God I have Kleenex on my nightstand. I pulled the Kleenex over. My husband gets home and he goes, what are you watching? And why are you crying? And he goes, we already watched that. I go, the second time is so much better. And here we go, the Bee Gees. So that was the first one. And I rewatched that. And I do have to say, if you haven't seen it, watch it. But the second time was even better. I was I grew up in Miami. Huge Bee Gees fan. Like I said, I'm 61, so I graduated in 1980. So big disco time.
So Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever. I was in 10th grade, you know, so disco was big for us in Miami. And so just listening to you all just brings my mind back. So that was my first episode. And I absolutely love that.
Oh, and that happened to us too. Like this is how that came to be. We had our lineup of episodes all ready to go. And then I watched the Bee Gees documentary and I like called an emergency meeting. Like we had to do an episode now, today. And then we finished the episode and I have to go back and watch it again. And there's more that I saw, even that didn't even make it into the episode. But yeah, even if you've seen the Bee Gees documentary, watch it again.
The best.
That's how I feel about Benji that we just did. We just recorded an episode. You guys remember the
Benji,
movie
Benji,
right?
The dog.
Yeah, of course.
So I can even tell you his little girlfriend's name was Tiffany.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's a disturbing scene in Benji where she gets kicked.
Trauma. You're going to love our upcoming episode. You're going to love our upcoming episode. It's basically a synopsis of the movie Benji. So yeah, listeners, you know, it can be as serious as Andy Gibb, but it can also be a synopsis of Benji. or Rob Lowe classic Schoolboy Father.
That is such a great example of what I mean, though. I had forgotten there was such a thing as Benji, but I immediately remember what I felt like watching it.
Yes.
And I was upset. And I may have had that. And you can be honest if I got that wrong as far as the girl dog's name.
Oh, you got it. No, that's right.
Okay. But these are the things that come flooding back, which is why my favorite episode without a doubt so far. And I haven't gotten to Flowers in the Attic yet or Judy Blume, but I was an avid reader, so that's coming. But Zoom, everyone loved Bernadette.
Yes, good job.
And she follows us now. Like, we've communicated with Bernadette. Yes. It's like the highlight of our...
Oh, she got a birthday greeting from Bernadette. Bernadette wished me a happy birthday.
Oh my gosh.
She not only, when we released Zoom, we sent it to Bernadette, and she not only told us she loved it, she sent it to all the other Zoomers from those original seasons, and because they all still get together, which we love to know stuff like that. And who was that guy, Carolyn? Well, he was like the producer or the director. Yeah, he lives in New Zealand.
The creator of Zoom.
The creator. Mm-hmm. And he messaged us like, I love this episode. I want to talk to you guys. And so that always, having a stamp of approval like that makes us feel like, all right, we did the episode.
We did our work today.
Yeah.
What is the response you get from your listeners? And I'm sure it was a gradual snowball effect as you started putting out the episodes, but are people continually asking you to do particular subjects, or is it more just this touched a nerve? What are you hearing back?
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, we get texts or not texts. We get emails, we get DMs and what people are super passionate about. And just the other day, I found this super interesting. We got one from a gentleman who said, please, please, please do an episode on James at 15/16. I love that show, Lance Kerwin. And so not only are some of the memories funny that people want us to do episodes about, but it's also some of the people, you know, you're getting like a 50-something year old man saying, please do James at 15. And he reminds me that the pilot, he said, you can't get any more 70s than Lance Kerwin, Melissa Sue Anderson, and Kate Jackson were in the pilot for James at 15. So yeah, so sometimes we actually listen to our listeners. We have a huge list.
And oh, imagine.
We always tease each other that when we started this, well, Kristen will always say she thought it was just a little like project, like we were going to do like 7 episodes and yay, good job for PCPS. We've saved 7 memories. And then we're like, oh, maybe you can go a little bit longer. But we kept thinking, oh, at some point we're going to like get to a dead end. We're not going to know what to do anymore. You guys, that is not a problem. We will
never
be
happen.
Rocking in our rocking chairs at Golden Acres Nursing Home, recording still episodes about our Gen X childhood. So, we come up with them. Our listeners do. And it's been amazing to watch that community grow of listeners and followers. We've made friends. I mean, it's pretty powerful. And we've seen friendships form between listeners and they get together and then they'll send us a photo of meeting up somewhere. So that's pretty special as well.
And, you know, just one other thing to touch on you to your point about like, what are your, or to your question of like, what kind of response do you get from your listeners besides just saying, I'd love to see James at 15 or Andy Gibb. And by the way, James at 15/16 is coming in a future season.
So oh my gosh.
Don't worry. But, from the very beginning, you know, when we sat down and got together after Carolyn said, I want to have a podcast and you guys are going to be on it. And Kristen and I just thought we would be like her Ed McMahon. We would just be over in the corner kind of going, uh-huh. And no. And so we sat down and we said, well, what's our why? And our why from the very beginning was to just kind of foster this connection, right? This connection between all of us who experienced these same things at the same time. And not just connection, but to provide, you know, joy, right? And these memories. And from the very beginning, and now we're 3.5 years later, I can't believe it. We have gotten emails, DMs, messages, voicemails, from so many people that tell us everything from I've saved episodes so I can listen to during chemo to especially during COVID, people losing family members from COVID. And oh my gosh, I just listened to your 2-part episode on the Carpenters. And I remember that my grandma and I loved the Carpenters. And this brought, you know, I just lost her to COVID. And so thank you so much. This, you know, just really lifted my heart. Or someone cleaning out their dad's attic after he passed away, listening to maybe, you know, the Purple Rain episode, saying, oh my gosh, I had totally forgotten my dad's the one that took me to see Purple Rain. And this just made me smile today. There's a million like this, right? Someone, you know, who has to, who's listens to it, you know,
had knee replacement surgery, because this is how old we all are, right? Yep. Had knee replacement surgery and couldn't walk for so many days. So listened to, you know, 50 episodes in a row, car trips. I mean, but the overwhelming message is that these memories, thank you for the joy these brought and the connection to someone I've lost or someone I forgot about, a friend I forgot about from high school. And that was our why from the very beginning. So, you know, 165, 66 episodes later, we are really proud that we're still, that's still the mission and that's still our why.
Yeah.
Do you mind giving us any more sneak peeks, James, at 15, 16? What else is on the to-do list? Or is
what
it
if
just...
we just recorded you guys still to come this season?
Okay. You mentioned Benji already.
Oh, Charlie's Angels.
Which angel are you? Mm-hmm. Because didn't we all choose one?
Yes.
You didn't just watch Charlie's Angels. You had to be one of the Charlie's Angels.
I agree.
So, yeah, Charlie's Angels.
Did you guys watch, it just came out in January on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
It called The Greatest Night in Pop, and it's hosted by Lionel Richie, and it's all about the recording, the night.
Wasn't it amazing?
It's unbelievable. So when we watched it, we started, right when it came out, like that week, we started getting, like we were just talking about, DMs from listeners. Mm-hmm. You guys have to do this. And so we're like, oh, I guess it must be good. So we watched it, and we all agreed, yes. So that's coming in a few weeks.
So that is the We Are the World. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We Are the World. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. So that's it's the one night the 40 something artists all gathered for like 11 hours to record We Are the World. Yeah, Carolyn, what was that?
Yeah, well, middle school dances. That was really fun.
And middle school.
Mm-hmm. And one of our favorite things to do is to crowdsource some of our, you know, content from our listeners and our followers. So Michelle, who curates our social media and does such an amazing job, will, you know, send out a prompt like, tell us your stories. And oh my gosh, some of them heartbreaking, some of them hysterical. So, and we all can relate on, in some, even if you didn't go, you have memories of what that experience might have been like for you. So we got to relive that a little bit. And of course some of the songs that go along with that. So we will create a playlist often if we have an episode that has a lot of music related to it. And so that will have a really, really fun playlist associated with it.
And how about this for a Gen X moment? We will be winding up our current season that just started last week with a celebration of the finale of MASH. Not just MASH, but that day in 1983 when the whole world sat down to watch the very last episode of MASH.
Because if you missed it, you missed it.
Yep.
It was gone forever.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, until now.
We can
watch it on Hulu now, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And no, that was one of those definite shared moments.
Yeah, that was the my gosh, the bus scene and the whole
the bus scene.
So I also just learned that MASH was on the first cover of Dynamite the magazine. I wonder where I heard that little nugget. You guys have such a depth of research that you do. It's pretty impressive. It really is.
Okay, so I also see that you go into the early 80s, which I'm thrilled about since I graduated in 1980. Are we going to do an urban cowboy? I went to school in Texas because of Urban Cowboy. No other reason, by the way, just because of that movie.
Wow.
And okay. I always wanted to be Pam and not Sissy, Pam, and say the famous line, what does your daddy do? Oil and all that that implies. Okay, so since I saw that you guys were getting into some of the early 80s, I am making that request for Urban
She's
Cowboy.
She's putting it out there.
I'm putting it out in the universe.
She's literally putting it on the list right now.
Yeah, Michelle
now.
Is writing that
putting
down
it
right,
on
now.
Right now.
Yeah, and,
right.
I'm and I'm also making a note to see if you want to come on the episode.
Oh,
and
my
talk
God.
To us about
oh, that's
it.
Don't
great,
even
Michelle.
Joke. I know every song.
That's
I even rode the Mechanical Bull. My mother was like, you're not going to school in Texas. I'm like, yes, I am. I am going to be like Urban Cowboy. And sure enough, went to Texas Christian University in Fort Worth. It was a great experience, but who goes to college for a movie? I don't know.
Or Pepperdine, if you watch Battle of the Network Stars. That's where I wanted to go. I'm going to Pepperdine University.
Oh, the Battle of the Network Stars. That's good. Yeah. So we're going to stop it right there and do a second half. This is definitely a two-parter.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's leave things right where we are right now and promise to come back with more with the ladies of Pop Culture Preservation Society, more trips down memory lane. But until then, and we're going to change our little tagline right now. Let's sing. We have to kind of think hard right. about this. Normally we say, let it go and don't look back. So we'll say, with memories like this, you don't have to let them go.
And you can look back.